Good evening, church. See, students, not only did they learn so much at the weekend, but they also know that you don't run away from the sheep. They are harmless. They know what I'm talking about. Look at the person next to you. Do you know them? Yes? No? Say hello anyway. Good. Now that you know each other, now take another look at them. Do they look hungry? What do you think? Maybe they are looking forward to dinner, but not starving, right? But what if they were truly famished and in physical need of food? Would you help them? Would you give them the food they needed? Put your hand up if you think you would help. Great. Yes. Yes, you would. Okay. So we would help with food. Now look again at them. Do they look ill? Hopefully not. But if they were sick, would you care for them? Would you help out? Help them get better and help them until they get better. Again, hands up if you think you would help. Yes, good. Lots of people willing to help the sick amongst us. Now, what if they were naked? Look again. No, don't. I think you might have noticed the first time you looked if they were. But let's say they were needed clothes, needed the warmth, the comfort, the decency that clothes would bring. Would you help out? Would you give them some clothes? Again, hands up if you would help out. Yes, I see a pattern emerging here. Of course you would help. So we are getting to know each other better now. What if the person next to you found themselves in prison? What if they needed your support? Would you visit them? What do you think? Yes? You could see them. You could see yourself doing that, won't you? So you would feed your friend if they were hungry, care for them if they were sick, clothe them if they were naked, visit them if they were in prison. Yes? Yes? That's great. Of course they don't need any of those things right now. They're not starving, not sick, not naked, not locked up in prison. But you would help them if they were any of these things. You know. And God knows it too. He knows your heart. He knows you would help. In Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, Jesus uses these criteria to divide between the righteous and the cursed. He compared the division to a shepherd dividing his flock between the sheep and the goats. He put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. The righteous were promised a place in heaven, and the cursed a place in hell. All the people who, like you, were willing to help if they saw their brother or sister in need. We're told about the place, and they have been prepared for them. He says, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Not quite what we were expecting. Effie now will read us the full passage from Matthew 25. Verses 31 to 46.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you?" He will answer, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
See, surprisingly, neither the sheep nor the goats are surprised at the place Christ assigns them, but they express surprise at the reasons he gives the judgment. His judgment is based on how they treated Christ, by how they treated those who Christ died for. If there is a reason who is hungry, if there is a person who is hungry, and you don't help them out, this is the same as not doing to the person next to you, and the same as not doing it to the Lord. "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat," he says. The righteous were the people who helped others with no expectation of a reward. They fed the hungry. But what does it mean today? What is the equivalent to feeding the hungry at the time of Jesus? Back then, food was the only thing that most people had. It was a form of a currency. Food was the only thing they had to trade for anything else they might need. Are there people around us today who are starving? Here in the UK? Perhaps not. But are there people who are hungry here in the UK? Undoubtedly. And are there people who have nothing to trade with if there are other things they need? Again, without a doubt. So how might we be the righteous sheep and help those people? What does it mean to be hungry in a country where 7 million tons of food is thrown away each year, and yet we're going without food, even at Christmas time? See, Jazz came here and told us about the food bank. What are we doing about the poor in our community who are starving? Jazz is so passionate about it. So should we. People are going without food. What are we doing about it? The righteous also helped those who are thirsty. Water is a staple of life. We can go for weeks without food, but we cannot survive for days without water. See, Lizzie and Gareth went to Tanzania. When they came back, they were so happy to walk in the shower and just open the tap to just have water. Are we wasting water? things that God created for us to enjoy, are we wasting them? And he says, I was a stranger. You invited me. See, back in the day, family was the tribe, your kindred. Reaching out to people who are outside our so-called group, neighborhood. See, we have to be alert to spot strangers around us. Cross the street to help, not to avoid. We learn from the Good Samaritan who crossed the street to help out. With social media today, you are less likely than ever to interact with people outside your circle. Getting self-reaffirming messages. You're sort of living in a bubble where I, and we forget the community. There may be a stranger in need of help on the other side of the street that you've just avoided. But if you're walking with your head in, your phone looking at some so-called friends on Facebook, you won't see how much they need your help. People who are socially awkward, shy, lonely, or in need of a friend. It's always easier to care for people who look like us, who are our friends. But our calling as a kingdom citizen is to save everyone, anyone with a need who crosses our path. New people at work, how do we deal with them? Do we bully them? Do we show that you're taking off my space? See, these are appointments for us to share Jesus with your welcome. Welcome, people. Jesus acknowledged the actions of those who provided clothing to people who needed it. Back then, you know, clothing was not a fashion statement. They might keep you alive. The nights are cold, and the blanket over your shoulders might be your only form of shelter. By providing clothing, the sheep did more than just cover up nakedness. What might be that equivalent today? Yes, to make sure people have warm clothing. But if they are sleeping in the cold, maybe it means having a warm sleeping bag as well. Maybe it is making sure that they shelter, they have a shelter at night. Do they have a duvet? If they have children, do these children have the right uniform to school? Make sure that they don't stand out. See, my husband said to me one day, Liz, I was brought up in the poorest home. I used to wear uniform that stood out. I was unkempt sometimes. And people bullied me, especially kids, bullied me. What are we doing to kids who stand out with uniforms that stand out, not looked after? Jesus says, I was sick. No NHS back then. How do these people help those people who are sick? Mental illness, depression, anxiety. All these didn't live to advance or death. But now we do. This now could include elderly people, the disabled, people with disabilities. Oh, are you a nurse? Are you a carer? Are you a doctor? Do you pray for these people as you are giving out care? Do you encourage people who are sick through calls, cards, childcare, or cooking the meals? Jesus says, I was in prison. Do you visit prisons to remind people that they are loved by God? Do you encourage those that have been emotionally separated from the group, outcast from society? People who society has just written them out. See, we also write people off when we get angry at them and we choose not to talk to them. You throw them in a sort of a prison that they don't know how to come out. See, apart from the obvious suffered prison, where else do you think you find people who are out of society, or some places where society has cut people out. Homelessness cuts people out of society. Loneliness in Salford does cut people out. Are you someone who you are trapped in your jobs, like you just keep working? Family situations. As a church, we need to be proactive and look out. All these represent people who do not have most basic human needs. Jesus says the poor are always with us, and that we can do something good for them if we choose. And that's Mark 14:17. Sadly, people have used that verse to ignore the poor. Are there any poor people in our community? Is there anyone out there you are not doing these things for? For the sheep, for the righteous, there's a place prepared and promised. Jesus says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, who you are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. See, our inheritance is the kingdom, not just any kingdom, but the kingdom of God, which he rules as a king. Jesus came to introduce the kingdom of God to us, and through the offering of his life on the cross, provide means for which we would enter this kingdom of God. A critical part of introduction of the kingdom is about our inheritance as children of God. In verses 34, Matthew records the parable of that Jesus introduced, referring to the inheritance, is about the judgment and the distinguishing characters made between the righteous and the unrighteous. The king is sitting in judgment, has placed righteous pictured as sheep on his right, and the unrighteous pictured as goats on his left. See, points to remember: Jesus is the king, but not our inheritance. Our inheritance is the kingdom of God, prepared for us since the creation of the world. Second, the gift that the king will give us is the kingdom. We inherit the kingdom, but Jesus rules the kingdom. This kingdom has been ours since the creation of the world. Adam and Eve enjoyed this kingdom in the Garden of Eden. However, Satan deceived them into sin and stole our inheritance. Jesus came to remove Satan from his illegal occupation of the throne and make it possible for us to reclaim our inheritance. Jesus did for us. Number three, we must go through Jesus to receive it. There's no any other way but through Jesus. He is our king and sets our example. We do as he did. All the needy ones are the kinds of people Jesus most identified with. He associated with them because he loved them, because society and religious people refused to do so. So our service is the kingdom's greatest ministry to humankind. Why? Because as the world sees and watches us save as kingdom citizens, joyfully, humbly, they know your God. They would want to know, why are you different? People often ask, why are you different? And Nicky Gumbel said that the reason why he was attracted to Christianity was because he sees Christians smiling a lot. You see, these Christians who are humble and they are smiley all the time. This glorifies your God. This glorifies our King. But our motivation must be love. Love is the very nature of God. Love means a commitment to meet other people's needs and above our own. It is the kind of love that he went to the cross and died for us. He did not wait for us to ask him, did he? No, he did not. God went to the cross even before we did ask him. And another motivation is that God is just caring. To care means to anticipate a need and meet it, planning to meet a need before it happens. This is the nature of our God. Because of the loving and caring of God, we as kingdom citizens must always render service, not out of what we will gain, but because we love and we love the King. And we also have to remember that our goal is to stay in touch with heaven every moment of every day. It is for this reason God sent his Holy Spirit, not to visit, but to stay with us. He will guide us, the Bible says. He will guide us into all knowledge of all truth and teach us how to live and talk like the King. He is the Paracletos, the intercessor, our assistant. This is the way, and actually the only way for us to apply a continuing influence and make a permanent impact for the kingdom of God in this popular culture. We must engage with the culture. Brothers and sisters, our mission is to bring heaven on earth because God has given man earth. He died for us. He died for you. You got to die for others. You got to save others. But from the kingdom's viewpoint, every person is either a sheep or a goat, either righteous or unrighteous, either kingdom citizen or an alien. We've got to stop. So therefore, it's important, therefore, to note that the goats that the King is talking about, they are not necessarily bad people. They are not bad people. They are kind of like us. We want to help out. They address the King as Lord, so they may well be religious people. They seem genuinely surprised at the King's charge that they didn't do anything to him. Implied in their question is, Lord, if we had known it was you, we would have acted differently. This is the whole point. The fundamental difference between the sheep and the goat. The sheep and the goat act differently. Unrighteous service is always calculated, always motivated by self-interest. What's in for me? How do I benefit in the long run? Will it make me look good in front of my peers? Will it win you the praise of men? Will it bring you the inheritance, the attention of the rich and the powerful in our society? Righteous servants don't care about any of that. They treat everyone the same. Rich, poor, strong, weak, lovely, unlovely. To all they show the same love, the same compassion and same respect. Why? Because of their love of the King. They are not after personal gain. All they are after is to obey and honor their King, whom they love with their heart. Saving others will not earn us right standing with God. Righteous service is a byproduct of a right standing with God. I've heard Gareth say this all the time. Right standing comes first, then service grows out of it. The ministry of righteous service is true kingdom work. Why? Jesus says, seek the kingdom first. Neither the sheep or the goat recognized Jesus when he came to them in a guise of the broken, hurting, and needy. For the righteous, it did not matter because they saved lovingly, faithfully anyway, as serving the King. Giving the kingdom life to people can be unconsciousness. It's a bit unconscious. It's something that we do because we love God. Greatness in the kingdom does not come by advancing over our co-workers and then boasting over them. In the kingdom, we save our way to greatness. You do not connive your way to greatness. Ask mother of James and Zebedee if you read your Bible. They wanted to be the first. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be a servant. And whosoever wants to be the first must be the slave. In this context, first means people will call you if they are in trouble because they know you will come and pray for them. People will always ring you. People will always say, if only you call this person, she will come and help. Practical services of feeding the hungry, sick, visiting the imprisoned, giving the kingdom life for people can be unconscious thing. Jesus viewed these actions of compassion as being performed by him. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I needed clothes. I was sick. I was in prison. The righteous servant responds with humility. Lord, when did we do these things to you? Humble service is so natural and second to none to those with servant heart that they do not think of themselves having done anything special in a particular merit. Always delighted to serve. God wants us to serve for one another just because of our love for him and not other people. The king wants our hearts to be so service-oriented that we serve without even thinking about it. Unconscious love is the best love in the world. If you sit down and plan to do whatever, oh, I'm going to help this one. But why should I help them? Why? They haven't done anything to me. Why should I go? They never come to my party. Why should I go? They never do this for me. You are acting like a goat. Sorry. See, sheep ask, how can I help, even though they are hurting? While God asks, what's in for me? A kingdom citizen, we should delight in the opportunity to serve, actually. See, we are on a journey. This is a new church. Get connected, get serving. After all, the king came to save the earth rather than to be saved. See, Jesus identifies with the hungry, thirsty, the downtrodden of Salford and Greater Manchester. And compassion done for them is being done to him. In other words, whenever we serve the needy, we serve the king. This is the mindset all of us as kingdom citizens need to develop. Feed the hungry, slake the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, tend the sick, visit the prison. This represents the very heart and soul of practical kingdom life in this world. Not your work, your labor, what you sweat for. Can you see why Jesus says if we leave, all these things will be added unto us? If we do these things that he cares so much about, that all things will be added unto us. See, when we walk past people who don't have anything, Jesus says, you're doing it to him. The message of the sheep and the goats is not to do good because it will get you a place in heaven. The message is to love Jesus and see where it takes you. Seek out the list of people. Look at them and see Jesus look back at you. Ask yourself now, what are you willing to do to help? You love Jesus, and here he is looking at you and in need of your help. Know that whatever you do for one of the least of his brothers and sisters, you do to him. whatever you do to a stranger, you do it to him. Whatever you don't do, you do it, you don't do it to him. Should we pray? Let us pray. Could we stand up? Let us pray. So, Lord, thank you that no person is beneath our dignity or unworthy of our compassion or beyond the reach of our love. Thank you that we learn that to look into the faces of other people and we see your face. You, Jesus, our King, looking back at us. Regardless of our jobs, our careers, whatever we do, God, we have an assignment. And Lord, we understand that some people could be so irritable, ungrateful, probably unlovable, unlikable, probably, God. And some we just don't understand because of their accent or how they act. Sometimes, God, we find it difficult that people are so inward focused. Or probably the issues of the world has taken them so deep that they refuse to put their head up. Nevertheless, God, we understand that this does not stop us from loving them the same, with gentleness and patient spirit we would give to others who are less difficult. After all, God, we recognize that they are made in your image. So, Lord, for those people that we have walked past, we say sorry. For letting you down, God, we say sorry. For the homelessness on the streets that we have walked past, God, we say sorry. We have let you down. We have let others down. But Lord, tonight we ask for your power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us, that we recognize your children out there, those that you came to save. Lord, we recognize that even the prodigal son, he wandered off, but he still was your child. So we pray for the souls out there that are wandering and don't know you yet, God. Could you help us to be ambassadors of your great kingdom? Could you help us? So right now, I pray for us. If there is anyone among us who does not know Jesus yet, I ask you to raise your hand up quickly and then put it down so we could pray for you. And if you need prayer, I invite you to come forward as the band prays so we could pray for you. Jesus.